Welcome to Kingsway's weekly podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Rachel. You all thought I was annoying when I was engaged. I'm pregnant now, so I'm going to be like even worse. Basically, when I got engaged to Rob, I was on iDestiny, and any time this mic like landed in my hand, it was like, hey, just so everybody knows, and we're all clear, Rob has asked me to marry him, because I couldn't quite believe it. So now I'm pregnant, I'm like that, but like on steroids. So also, public safety announcement, I'm an emotional person when I'm not pregnant, so you can imagine I'm fragile. It's like a prime example. Rob came in the other night with two heavily smashed up macaroons in this bag, and I was like, you thought of me while you were out the house, you got me these macaroons. I was like, oh boy, it's a lot. So dear Sharon asked me to speak a couple of weeks ago when I don't think I did know I was albrigo at that point. Yeah. And I was feeling like a ray of sunshine and just really excited to be here. And then all of a sudden, he was like, poof. And I was like, oh, I don't feel so good. Just in case anybody doesn't know, pregnancy is like, well, one of my friends in America is the same amount of weeks pregnant as me. And she's like, she had a scan at 8 weeks, so she's made it public knowledge. And she posted on Instagram, like, wow, like, it's so amazing growing a baby. I don't feel any nausea at all. And I was like, good for you. Which I know isn't very Christ-like, but, you know, it's where I'm at. I was like, you're glowing. I look less pregnant now because I've lost so much weight from being so ill than I did when I found out I was pregnant. I'm like, she's got this like lovely little... Anyway, I'm not fine. It's fine. I'm not struggling. It's great. So I've been out of action for a few weeks. Just nausea is just really like a brutal, not fun thing. And so, like, but God, obviously I've had a lot of time. It's nice to see Peter. We're living with the Clemensons. I've literally been like locked in our bedroom. Yeah. So hi. I've had a lot of time to watch Netflix and hang out with God. So we have been communicating about things, me and Jesus. And so we have been like communicating about stuff, but my brain has been pretty wrangled. And as this week was going on, I was like, okay, Jesus, like, really need to start thinking about what I'm going to say on Sunday. I can't go up there with nothing. I'm here with nothing. So thankfully, during the week, Rob had like a Holy Spirit moment and came home and was like, hey, I just like, I've had this like revelation of growth, and like, it's just amazing, isn't it? And God's like, I'm like, do you want to talk on Sunday? Like, do you want to share this with Kingsway? So he's stepping up. I will be talking a little bit, but then Rob's gonna take over because he's a hero. And my energy is like minus 15 all the time, so, you know, we'll see how far I go. So I just wanted to like introduce me and Rob. Like, I know a lot of you know us. Obviously I did iDestiny 3 years ago now, which is wild. Came to do iDestiny through a series of events which are its own thing. Me and Rob were together, but I was very much decided that we weren't going to be together by the time I'd finished the school, because he wasn't a Christian. And I knew in my heart that I really wanted to marry someone that knew Jesus. Like, that was just really important for me, because I do feel in the future that full-time ministry might be something that God has for me. And I thought, I can't be with someone who when I say, like, okay, God's told me to sell everything and move to China, that they'll be like, are you insane? Like, no, for so many reasons. I needed to be with someone that'll be like, that sounds mental, let's go. So I thought, like, Rob, yeah. So Rob was so adventurous, and he loves the outdoors and all that, and he had just had so many incredible qualities. So before I moved here, I prayed a very, very, very stubborn prayer. That was, Jesus, I'm not breaking up with Rob. I like him too much. If you don't want us to be together, you're going to have to do something about it. Because I thought, because it was less even about me and what I knew I needed, and more about what what was right for Rob and for Rob's life. Like, I didn't want to bring Rob into a place that was not right for him and not right for his path with God and whatever. So I was like, whatever. And I just totally let go of the reins, handed my relationship over to God and was like, you deal with it. Because I can't. Spent the first week here in tears every day, like mourning the loss of my relationship, even though we hadn't broken up with each other. I just thought, he's going to leave me. It's so awful. And then the first week that I was here, Rob has this crazy dream and then goes back into the dream. Like, it's mad. Like, during you like think about something, you're like, that's a lot. He had a dream one night, went back into the dream the next day as a vision at his desk at work and met God in the vision. So it was just like a bit bonkers, you know? Like, Rob tells it better than me, so I'm not going to try. But it was just like wild. So he turns up on the side, calls me. He's like, hey, I'm driving to the Peak District, but are you free? And I was like, oh God, he's coming to break up with me. And I was like, oh God, well, at least it's early and then I can spend the next however many months of my destiny dealing with the pain. So he turns up on the side here. And I'm like that. So I'm upstairs, like, sobbing. Managed to pull myself together before he arrives. And I come knock on the door. I open the door, and here's this boy. And I'm like, what? And he's like, Rachel! And he's, like, glowing. And, like, you know, like, she was gold dust on him. Like, I don't know. It was just like, who is this? What is happening? Like, what? Considering the last Sunday, like, he dropped me off at Kingsway and was just like this the whole Sunday service. People were coming up and be like, hey. He was like, oh. I thought, oh boy. So he's like, hey, oh my gosh. Like, proper kisses me. I was like, oh, that's not the behavior of someone that's about to leave you. So I was like, very confused. So he took me out. We went into Manchester. I think in our entire relationship, I'd seen Rob cry, like, twice, maybe. Like, not a crier, unlike moi. We sat in this restaurant and he like broke down. I'm like, first of all, we're in public. Like, second of all, what is happening? And he's like, Rachel, like, I think I know Jesus. And I was like, what? Like, totally, you know, I'm like, I'd spent the week feeling very sad about the loss of Rob in my life because I thought it's no way it's going to work. But also imagining like my American missionary husband that was going to marry. Sorry. you know, I thought if it's not Rob, who is in my mind like perfect, it's someone even better than that. So they've got to be like spot on, you know. So I thought, oh, okay. So we talked about it, and he's like, yeah, and I just feel like I want to do this, and we need to go to Germany, and like I've got all this stuff on my heart, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, that's great. Kind of came back very bewildered, and that was the start of a mental few years for us. So that was only like, so that year, that was the March, was it? When did I Destiny start? March? Someone? Rebecca? Yeah. So that was the March. By the May, we were engaged. And by the September, we were married. So, like, God was just like, yeah, you think you know. and then marriage for us wasn't a very natural thing. We both come from homes where there's been a lot of issues with our parents. So my father had, past tense, had attachment disorder. Doesn't have it now because God's really good. And Rob's parents are divorced. And so we'd seen between the two of us a lot of, well, we hadn't seen any healthy examples of what a strong marriage looked like. So when we got married, it was just constant, like, how would you describe it? Like, yeah. love you. So, yeah, it was not good. Yeah. Yeah, when I say it was bad, like, it was bad. Like, three months after we got married, we were both like, what have we done? But again, God is good. We are clearly, obviously, evidently still married now with a baby on the way. Woo! Yeah, and very happy. So, but when I did our Destiny and we came to Kingsway, and obviously that's where Rob's spiritual journey started, is here with you guys. And I kind of felt in my spirit, like, I had this connection to Manchester, but to, like, really to Kingsway, and I just knew there was something about this place that God was like, this is for you, and it's for you guys, and there's so much for like room for us here to grow as a couple and as a family. And after three months of being married, we were like, okay, we can't do life like this. We need to figure something out. So we did a marriage course, the Alpha Marriage course, which if you haven't done and you have been married for a long time, or if you've been married for 2 minutes, 10 out of 10, recommend it. Super cheesy. Like, there's parts where you're like, oh, like, you and then you talk about things and you're like, that, oh, no. But the content is incredible and it covers everything, like, in marriage. It was just really helpful, wasn't it? And that, it really turned things around. And basically, it's just through, like, but we learned to do this thing which really changed our marriage, where you, like, talk to each other. It's mind-blowing. Really, a game-changer. a conversation. But our arguments turned into conversations, and, like, just stuff really changed. And I could just see, like, ultimately, when I was a teenager, God promised me a husband, and I always held that so lightly because I knew how much I wanted a husband. So I'm like, yeah, of course God's promising you, like, a dreamy husband, like, because that's what you want. But I had made a very specific list of things that I needed in a partner. Be specific with your prayers, by the way. Like, because, like, God really hit the nail on the head, you know? Like, he didn't miss a thing off my list. And then was like, here's a Brucey bonus. He's really handsome. be specific. It wasn't actually, no, you know, I think he probably knew my heart and knew that I would like that. So it's amazing to me what God has done in us and in Rob, and the difference in us both these past few years is really monumental. It's no little thing. We both have in the past suffered really badly with depression. And really bad mental health issues, and now to stand together in this place with you guys as family and be healthy people and, like, be working together as a unit is just the best thing. And I really do credit a lot of that to the support we get from people here, so I'm really thankful. So that's us. We're here now. We move into our house on Friday, which is so exciting. We live in, I keep calling it Withenshaw, and people go, oh, you don't want to live in Withenshaw. I'm like, I like mentioned it to someone up north, and they were like, are you sure you live in Withenshaw? I was like, from Stockton? Like, I'm sure I can handle it. We live near Withenshaw Park. It's very lovely. You know, the road with all the lovely trees on. Bagley. And then, we live in Northern Moor, darling. I'd probably fit in better with the people from Withenshaw, I'm not going to lie. So, that's us. We're here now. I naively, when we arrived, through my, like, I'm really good at saying, I'm like a yes man. And people are like, do you want to do this? I'm like, yes, sounds great. And then my whole body was like, no, sit down. So, I haven't been around. I've been hiding through fear of, like, being sick on my friends, you know, like, trying to keep that to a minimum. So, but God's really been, like, these past few weeks, sorry, I'm really not very good, like, I don't have that limit of, like, TMI, like, it's no such thing as TMI to me. Yeah, okay, that's fine. Just every now and again I say something and I'm like, I probably shouldn't have said, anyway. So, the thing that God has been talking to me about, obviously, like, I was really hoping, because it's so close to Christmas, that I would, like, have some sort of great Christmas thing to talk about. I don't. I was like, oh, I'm pregnant. Like, I'll look into Mary. No. I don't know. Something else me and Rob did this year. We sold our house, obviously, to move here and put all of our belongings into a storage unit and bought a van, a transit van. Converted said transit van into a camper van, and we just took off. So we were like, yeah, we're moving here, like telling Andy and Sharon, like, yeah, we're, as soon as possible we're moving here, but we're gonna do quick trip, 3 months. So we went round France, Spain and Portugal, it was amazing. And we have lots of stories and stuff, which I obviously I'm not going to tell everyone today. But we had a really good time doing that, and I can't remember why I said that. Just bragging now. Okay. sorry. yeah. So God's really been talking to me, funnily enough, about like what you were kind of singing about this morning, just that, like, just how good God is. Like, he's so good, and I think it's really hitting me, and I'm understanding it in a way that I never have before. Like, because even now, like, I'm so good that when things are really good and, like, everything's great and, you know, like, God's the best. Yeah, we love Jesus. And then the second it's bad, I'm like, oh, screw you. Like, I'm, you know, I'm really, I'm like, I'm not, I don't just, like, I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, it's going to be okay. Like, God's our comforter. I'm like, no, no, thank you. And it's such a bad habit. But I've had it my whole life. And it comes from a place in me that says, you know, God's not interested in the dark bits. He's not interested in the parts of you that you don't like. He's not interested, you know, like, you deal with that. He'll take the glory for the good stuff, which is just so backwards, it's untrue. Like, I know when I was younger, a huge part of my attitude towards God was this whole thing of, like I can't understand, because I'm so awful and I'm so unlovable and I'm so unworthy that he could possibly love someone like me. Like, how does he do that? Like, I'm gross. Like, ugh, you know, like, my behavior, like, really bad. And, like, I look back on those times now and, like, if I'd have seen in me what God saw in me, I wouldn't have gone through half the stuff that I went through. Because if I'd have had an understanding of who I really am, which is beautiful and wonderful and kind and really funny. And, you know, like, those things, like, when your like, idea of your identity is skew-wiffy, like, that plays out in your life. So I've really been, like, that's just hitting home. Because obviously now as a mum, like, that's the example I want to set for my kids, you know, like, I want them to know who they are, and, like, if I don't, that's a really difficult thing to give to them, so I need to know who I am so that I can tell them who they are, like, but yeah, like I said, when things are hard, I am really good at just turning away, because it's almost like, I'm like, oh, you don't need to see this, like, you don't want to know, like, I'll come back to you when I'm all good and we can have a good time. But while we were, oh, that's why I was talking, okay. While we were away, get there in the end. Can I claim it's baby brain yet, or is it too soon? While we were away, I read a book called Barking to the Choir by this guy called Gregory Boyle. Go and get it for everyone for Christmas. It's the best. Well, it's like Bible, then this. So, just this guy is just amazing. He is the founder of an organization called Homeboy Industries, and which is a organization in, I think, Los Angeles that works with gangs and gang rehabilitation and gang members. But he's a monk, he's a brother. So, like, he just has this, like, really fascinating perspective on things. And I read this year, and I'm like, this is it. Like, this is, I thought, anything that I want to try and say, like, it's on these two pages, so I'm just going to read it. Right, here we go. Like a caring parent, God receives our childlike painting of a tree, usually an unrecognizable mess, and delights in it. God doesn't hand it back and say, come back when it looks more like a tree, or tell us how to improve it. God simply delights in us. Like the kid at probation camp after confession. You mean you just sealed my record? The God who always wants to clean the slate is hard to believe. Yet the truth about God is that God is too good to be true. And whenever human beings bump into something too good to be true, we decide it's not true. In a correspondence with a priest in Ireland, Jackie Kennedy wrote that she felt bitter towards God after the assassination of her husband. How could God let this happen? She asked. But God wasn't in the Texas school book depository aiding and arbiting. God was and is in the heartbreak and in the insight born of sadness and in the arms that wrap around our grief. I have felt this every time a kid is gunned down, or when you have to lay off 300 of your workers because you can't meet payroll, or when you are given a cancer diagnosis. Such things don't shake your faith, they shape it. Some things are random and other things are meant to be in our control. So God is with me when crap happens. And God is rooting for me when I need to decide things, and I'm okay with that. I don't need God to be in charge of my life. I only need God to be at the centre of it. Over 20 years ago, when Homebuy Industries was still called Jobs for a Future, we had a payday every Friday. We employed nearly 60 former gang members at the time, and funds were so low that I was writing more bad checks than a member of Congress. His words, not mine. Once a homie told me they had seen the movie 101 Donations, I asked him, why didn't you invite me? As Friday was looming, I found myself owing $10,000. Otherwise, I'd be handing out IOUs. I was entering the panic zone, so preoccupied with worry that it became difficult to attend to my duties as pastor. The day before payday, a woman pulled up to the front of the parish office in what homies would call a bucket, ignoring designated parking signs. She said that it was urgent she speak with me, so she was brought into my office. She was in her late 70s, dressed not too differently from a bag lady, layered and oddly arrayed. Her husband had recently died, she explained, and she had been cleaning his room. He always respected what you do with gang members, she said, and she passed me a very worn paper bag wrapped round itself twice. She explained that she had found it under his mattress. I unwound the bag and I found a stack of bills inside. I stopped counting, she said, once I got to $10,000. I didn't, and it was $12,000. As elated as I was, I had no need to believe that God had orchestrated this woman's arrival. God would have been centrally present even if I had to face down some very bereft homies. After all, nothing depends on how things turn out, only on how you see them when they happen. Emmanuel, the name that means God is with us, is not moving the dials and turning the switches, but tenderly holding us through it all. And I was like, ugh, yeah, that's just it. The book is so good. It's full to the brim of like that level of wisdom, and it's helped me by reading it like so much. I really do recommend it. There's two, Barking to the Choir and Tattoos on the Heart. Let's make a note. Go buy them. That's it. That's where I'm at. We're really excited that we live here. I'm really excited that we live here and that we get to be family with you guys. One quick thing before I hand over to Rob. Obviously, a lot of our friends back home, back in Teesside, don't know that I'm pregnant, so no congratulations on my Facebook wall, because no one knows yet. All right, so I'm going to let Rob. Because that what I've just said is kind of what he's been speaking to us both about simultaneously, just in like different ways. And Rob's really wise. So...
Hello. That's my wife. I had absolutely no idea she was going to talk about that, which has overwhelmed me about this, to be honest. So this could get messy. So, quite a long time ago, in a lifetime very far behind me now, I wrote a list. Oh, for God's sake. I wrote a list of all of my biggest fears, and number one was doing this. Talking in front of people. So, and we had a conversation today about that, and I said the really interesting thing about fear that I found is if you just look it in the eyes and walk straight towards it, quite often by the time you've got there, you realise you've already passed through it. And I've learned that jumping in at the deep end is pretty much the best way to do that. So let's jump in, shall we? Yeah, so on Wednesday, I was sat in the office, which seems to be where stuff happens for me. And open plan office, this one, I had a bit of a cubicle to myself in the last one. So when things got crazy about 3 years ago, I could really just sort of like embrace that. This one, not so much. Everyone can see me. And on Wednesday, I got absolutely smashed by the Holy Spirit by complete surprise and had a bit of a revelation about grace. And I'd been just sort of daydreaming a little bit because what I was doing wasn't that taxing. So I had that extra space in my mind and I was praying away. And I got a feeling that was somewhere between me and Holy Spirit, just sort of like riffing and playing with each other, to listen to an album I listened to a very, very long time ago. And it's Mumford & Sons' first. It's Mumford & Sons' first album. And there's a line in one of the songs that goes like this. And I listened through it and had this crazy revelation about what grace means to me. That was number two on my list. So one day maybe. Yeah. And let this be an encouragement to anyone else who's scared of something. So it goes, it seems that all my bridges have been burned, but you say that's exactly how this grace thing works. It's not the long walk home that will change this heart, but the welcome I receive with the restart. So I discovered that album while I was at uni, and at that time was a really, really deeply unhappy person. So much so, considering ending my life. And really struggling with some significant things, some of what Rich alluded to and some other things as well. When I heard that song on Wednesday, it's like a window back to that time. And where I was then, and sort of a perspective looking back along my journey, back through my life. And it really illustrated to me that life is quite a lot like a road. It is a path, and life is a journey. It's not a destination. It's not an achievement. It's the practice. It's the doing. It's the this, that. That is really how I understand life. It's a practice, not a product. That reflection or vision back then really highlights how it has been a journey, and it teaches me that God is there along with me every single step of the way. Even more significant to me because that was back in the time when I didn't know God and would quite actively reject Christianity. And it really highlighted to me that God's presence and his grace are the same thing. How constant he is. He's there every single step of the way, no matter what. And quite often that's surprising, especially when you're having a complete meltdown, like something's really bad. You can't cope with something, you're struggling, you're really freaking out, you've sort of lost it really. And completely freaking out and losing your mind. And then when you check yourself and you're like, oh, you were there the whole time, weren't you? I didn't need to do that. Like, that's, maybe I can find a way not to do that one day. And I see now that being frustrated with where I am or where I was and the way things are, the situation I find myself in makes about as much sense as carrying along down this road in your life, this journey of your life. And I'm imagining, might help to imagine your favourite walk somewhere. I'm imagining this trail in Wales that I know really well. It's like carrying on down that road, and you're walking along and you're going down this path, and you know God's there and everything's fine and the sun's shining and the view's absolutely incredible. And then you come across a puddle, right? A muddy puddle. And you completely lose your mind and start freaking out. And you put your hands over your eyes and you're crouched on the floor and you start screaming, saying like, oh, no, I can't cope with this. God, I don't understand. I don't know how. I don't want to get past this puddle. This puddle scares me. Have I done something wrong? Like, make your plans clear. I need to know. And it's like, it's a puddle. With your hands over your eyes, curled up on the path, getting frustrated with what I have or don't have, what's wrong, what's out of my control, and the things I don't know about that I feel I need this knowledge. We do this thing where we really feel like we need to know, we want to know, and not being informed is a really vulnerable place. And that's quite unsettling, and is one of those times where I expect other people as well have found when you're out there and you don't understand, that's scary and quite an easy place to forget how good God is. With circumstances, with relationships, with money and work and livelihoods and health. So sometimes the obstacles are a little bit more than a puddle, but God's walking every step of the way as well. And if a bear stepped out on that path, or the road's being washed away, like, that's what your guide's for. Like, don't you think he knows how to deal with that? Like, look at him. Get your hands off your eyes. Like, take your hands off, I've written here, take your hands off your eyes, Rob. Like, give him the heavy bag, or stick it on the back of the horse, or whatever carries the burden in this metaphor. Open your eyes. Stand up and look at that view. There's a whole world around that puddle, or past that bear, or beyond that washed out road. And there's loads of possibilities. Look past the problem and keep that like really bright excitement about what is. There's a lot more going on than just this problem in front of you. And beyond supporting you through those struggles and finding ways around things that you can't understand or control, or things that scare you, and I think that's quite a big element of it, is fear. He knows where the cool stuff is along that path. He knows where the best views are. He knows where to see the sunrise a certain way, or where there's a really lovely place to go. Just, he knows the things that you'd want to see. He knows you, and he's going to show you what you really enjoy. Have fun with it. And it's pretty hard to get the most out of that, to get the most out of that experience and that journey, if you're curled up on the path with your hands on your eyes, freaking out, having a meltdown, taking your eyes off God. It's pretty hard to receive what God's got for you, or see any of the cool stuff, if you freeze to the spot. And it's pretty weird, isn't it, when you think about it like that. I've done that. I do it much less these days. And I see people do that. And I think if you're honest with yourselves, maybe you do it every now and then. But I know I do it much, much less than I used to. And this is where I'm going to. I say that to say this, Andy Britton. This is where I'm getting to about the journey thing and the looking back. Like, it's only now when I forget about how good God is, or when something really overwhelms me, or I'm really scared of something, that I forget he's there all the time, and I freeze and I'm back to square one in that moment. But as time's gone on and as I've practiced that, I've really learned I can take a breath and I can step back and I can take my hands off my eyes and I can see, no, like, it's okay every step of the way. God's support's constant. God's grace is constant. Presence is constant. Another musician that we quite like, if you haven't guessed, there's no scripture in this one because I'm quite new to this, but I have a lot of experience and I know a lot of these things to be true. Another musician says that life is not the mountaintops, it's the walking in between. And I like it when you're walking next to me. And I really like it when God's walking next to me. That's comfortable and it's fun. It's really good company. It opens up my days. It opens up the view in a way that I'd never thought to see it. I love it. Love it when my path converges with other people's, like my wife's. 5 years now, and it's been a journey, like a real, real journey, but fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And now there'll be someone else joining our path as well, and it's all of you guys as well. Even if it's just brief, just getting to walk ways with people for a while through your journeys, the greatest blessing, I think. And I found that you kind of have to be stood up with your eyes open and your ears open and taking a good lungful to enjoy that view and to really get the most out of that. And I love enjoying the view as much as I love and as much as I enjoy sharing my path. That's what's written there. You've got to be there in that moment with him. And this is every moment he's constantly telling me things and giving me his top tips. It's like this year we've had the year of years that has completely changed our life, and people say that, but this is, yeah, hopefully we'll get to tell you about it one time. It's really been wow. He's given me his top tips and he's given me his options, and the truth that I've really, really learned this year after testing it, thinking I'll find the hole in this, like I'm sure he's not that good. It's like, this really can be so much fun. It really, really can be. I can't hear that if I'm laid on the floor crying, stuffing my socks in my ear. Do you know what I mean? Like completely having a meltdown. It's just, Rob, calm down. Calm down, mate. You're all right. Stop. Just look at your guide. Look at God. He's not gone anywhere. You know, I had this picture. One of the very first times I came to iDestiny when Timo was still here. And it was of a dad, this will be me soon, walking his kid. So he's walking along and the kid stumbles. And we weren't talking about our journey, and I don't really know, I can't remember where it applied then, but I think it's still just as true now. He's walking along and the kid stumbles. And my thought, if I make a mistake, is, oh God, I've made a mistake. Like, consequences. How do I rectify this? What have I done wrong, basically? Or it has been. But if you think about that, a dad's walking his child along. If the baby stumbles, dad doesn't mind. Dad stood there waiting, like the guide in this story. And he's like encouraging. He's like, okay, yeah, we'll keep going. And when we get back up, or I'll carry you, and we'll go to playgroup, or we'll go and do something really fun. There's never a drop of anger in any of that, never a drop of consequence. If you trip up, that's it. Stand back up. Just look at God. Take your hands off your eyes. Stop worrying, because I can guarantee you, in the middle of the worst things, he's still there. Which I can't believe I didn't know you were going to say that. That's blown me away. Breathe and just put one foot in front of the other. It doesn't have to make sense. Just keep moving forwards. Sometime further down that road, you'll look back over your shoulder. And realize how far you've come. And you'll realize you're not scared of the things that used to scare you. And still, when you get there, and every step of the way since, God's there beside you. Every single step. How gracious is that? there's a little bit extra that I thought of when I realised I was. It was quite interesting when this happened. It was amazing. I was having the best time, looking a little bit weird at work when this all came out. I was like, I have to sit down at lunch and write this down because it might be good. So I'll sit down. I went in the canteen. And I thought, no, I have to do it in the canteen, don't I? Okay, yeah, check in. And alongside this thought that if we're making this look fun, then we're making Christianity, we're making our relationship, we're making the kingdom look fun. We're making it, I don't know, but I feel really good, and it excites me and energizes me even further to think that what we're doing isn't just me, and just by being, it's really attractive. And the thing that I realized today rewriting this so I could actually read my notes was that there's not a drop of work in any of that. It's literally just a change of perspective. So I was writing this away, and I went and sat in the canteen, and I wrote it all down in just reams and reams of paper because I was just bullet pointing it. And during doing that, a lad that I have a really, really good relationship with at work, fairly young lad, but really good sense of humour, and we get on quite well, came through and was just said, "Oh, what are you doing? Are you working? Like, it's lunchtime, isn't it?" And I was like, "Oh no, I'm just writing some stuff down. I've had a really good idea, and I think I might be speaking at church on Sunday. Don't really know why, but I think I might be." And he was like, "You go to church?" I was like, yeah. I was like, it's really good fun. As I said, I think I probably know what you're thinking. I used to have this idea. It was dead fuddy-duddy, and there was all like gowns and old hymns and smells like dust and all that. And he was just still like, "You go to church?" Like we get on really well. And he was like, "You go to church?" So like, how's that for an open door? That's, can't wait to talk more about that. There's a little bit extra when we went to our friend's wedding. I'm not stumbling half as much as I was when I stood up. We went to our friend's wedding, Simon and Kat, so I think it was last year. Absolutely incredible people. Was it this year? Hopefully. Oh, yeah, because we flew for it. Yeah. Hopefully we can get them here one day. They live in Leeds, and we're going to invite them to come down and come and see how crazy we all are. The vicar at their wedding finished it up with a blessing that I'd like to give to you all now. And I think it fits quite well. I think it's beautiful as well. And it's the Celtic blessing. So I pray, may the road rise up to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. May the rain fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hands. That's it.
Jesus.
We hope this message blessed you. If you're hungry for the more of God, if you want to be equipped to live the normal Christian life 24/7, see miracles, walk in healthy relationships, and discover Christ in you, then why don't you head over to www.idestiny.org.uk. iDestiny is Kingsway's 5-month full-time ministry and discipleship school, starting both in March and September every year. For more information on Kingsway Church, please visit www.kwcm.org. And for more information about iDestiny, please visit www.idestiny.org.uk. Have a great day.